Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me two of my favorite guys, and that would be Chris Hemsworth and Idris Elba.
What's happening, baby? How you doing? Yes.
Oh, just kidding. I got Carl here and Eric.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
And that's Eric broadcasting from inside the Carrier Air Conditioning Company. That is Eric Gray.
No, he's in the Jeep, but unfortunately, I'm not in the Jeep with him this time. Carl's sofa is quiet, so we don't hear that. I'm not on his sofa either.
Too bad. Lonely cast.
And today, we're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy, blah, blah. I can't even say that. Guardians of, and I'm sober. That's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yay, Bungaloo. Guardians!
Yeah, nah.
Wow, feels like it was a month ago now.
It probably does feel like a month ago.
It's getting close to a month. It's been like 3 weeks or so.
Are you complaining?
No.
Okay, we'll shut that down. Okay. So I really want to hear, because, you know, Carl, we have to judge movies at the end of the year, and I need to know what you think about Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right, so we start with me. We're just going to jump right into it?
We can jump right into it.
I thought the movie was awesome.
Aww.
I really liked this movie. And let me just say, seeing as our friend Eric has had a problem with the concept in the past, this, Eric, my friend, is what you classify as a romp, okay? This is the official definition of a popcorn movie romp. Your skewed definition of romp, we're not even going to address that right now. I'm just going to say, fun. That's what this movie was all about. I mean, you know, I can pick up stuff and I can talk about, you know, consistencies and silly. But look, when you got a raccoon with a automatic weapon as one of the primary heroes of the film with his pet tree, consistency is not really something you're going to be dwelling on. You know, details like that, you're not going to be picking at. So moment after moment, this movie was silly and fun, and it was genuinely endearing. So across the board, I really enjoyed it. And I liked it more than the first one. I like it more than the first one. Yeah. So it was a good time. Good time. That's my quick
verdict. I agree with you, Carl. I like this one way more. And for some reason, it was a romp, but somehow it was emotional too. And I've caught myself tearing up several times throughout
this thing. For unexpected characters.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what is happening? Why am I tearing up and feeling all emotional for this thing? It's weird. It was weird. But I thought it was, by your terms and definition, Carl, not Eric, that it was a romp. It was a nice space romp. But I thought it was a little unfortunate that when, what's Chris's name on here? Well, I forget his name.
Star-Lord.
Well, I mean his other name. But when Star-Lord found his dad and his dad was messed up and his dad killed his mom and all that, I thought that was a bit unfortunate. Eric, your Jeep is super loud, sir.
You're going to have to mute that, dude. That is
it's
just
not
crazy.
The Jeep. It's the wind.
We'll roll up the window.
Windows are not down. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? What is your car made of? Balsa wood?
Do you really want to hear what it sounds like the window's down?
Hey, whoa. No. Okay, so, Eric.
Yes.
This is a sci-fi party line, y'all. And so, Eric, we've waxed poetic. What do you feel about GOTG2?
I'm not right there where you guys are.
Of course.
I acknowledge, like, I get Carl calls it a romp, and that's legitimate. I get people use it like that. Usually when I use the term, I usually use it more in a negative connotation. But I get it. If way Carl does, so whatever.
Yes, romps are typically positive, happy things, unlike when you apply them.
No, I usually mean it as things that you don't necessarily have to take serious, but they could be good or not good, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. I liked the movie, I really did, but I had the similar feelings as what you guys just said. The only difference is a lot of those feelings I felt more in Volume 1. The same things that you guys said, I felt more in Volume 1. And I felt them in Volume 2, but to a lesser degree. So, by comparison.
Explain.
What do you want to know? Okay.
Well, I mean, just like what made you feel less? Like, to me, well, let me... Go ahead.
The simplest answer is that Volume 1 took me much, much more by surprise. And see, that really cannot be duplicated, well, especially with a sequel. It's almost impossible to duplicate that experience that I had, and so I don't fault it for that. And the only way they could try to duplicate that experience is if they really made it very different from the first one. But it wasn't really very different. It was in the same vein, which is okay. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying, with the first Guardians of the Galaxy, for me personally as a viewer, there was a whole lot of magic in the bottle that first time. And that is a rare situation. And what I mean by that, like, I did not see the original Star Wars A New Hope as it played in the theater. I was a little bit too young for that. So, you know, I'll never have that experience of what was it like to see that groundbreaking movie when nothing like that had ever been seen before. I don't know. But something like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, to me, my experience, it was an approximation, I would imagine, of what it would have been like to see A New Hope for the first time. Or another time I felt that way about a movie was when The Fifth Element first came out. And that was another movie that felt that, like, this is kind of, I'm guessing this is what Star Wars felt like when it came out in 1977. And so that's magical. And there's almost no way Volume 2 could have had that for me. And the types of things you just talked about that you felt, like the emotional part where you get kind of teared up and this and that, I felt that in both Volume 1 and Volume 2, but I felt it much more in Volume 1, personally.
All right.
For which character? Like, what exactly? Because I don't, the only person, because I think there was more tearjerker between Merle and the raccoon. That was really nice. Merle and Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah,
Star-Lord.
That was very strong. Right. Oh, I think there was more to spread around. Certainly, I don't think anyone can argue that in Volume 2. And I felt all the different character arcs hit me to different degrees. In Volume 1, it was more concentrated. In Volume 1, it was strictly just the Star-Lord and his mom and then the team coming together. Those were the only two. But those were quite impactful for me. But in Volume 2, Merle, yeah, that was big. The other one that worked for me was the sisters.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good. And now the one with Peter Quill now with his father, Ego. That one, yes, that counted for me, but I think I knew too much about that going into the movie.
Oh.
So that one was like the least surprise for me. The Merle and sisters was much more a surprise because I didn't really know that much about those going into the movie.
Yeah.
But Ego, that was like, okay, first of all, I already kind of knew about it. But then even if you didn't know about it, it's very telegraphed. And it's very obvious. I mean, just if you just watch movies, you kind of had that feeling.
Well, in Marvel,
it was too good to be true.
In Marvel films, it's always the young superheroes, young flashy superheroes. And if there's an old guy, the old guy is always evil. So that's pretty much
right,
the formula.
You're right, though. In the Marvel Disney movies, I hate how it's just way too obvious. Like in Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like the Iron Man sequel, and like, God, it's, yeah, they don't even hide it.
Yeah.
Like you always could tell who, like, the turncoat's going to be. Wait a minute.
Always some bullcrap.
It's kind of lame, really.
Yes, ageism is what it is. So I like the sisters. What's the sister? Uhura's?
Nebula?
No.
Gamora?
Yeah, Gamora. Right?
Gamora.
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 To me, she didn't have that much to do this time around. To me, she was kind of different.
Say that again, Kat.
Well, she didn't have that. To me, she just wasn't. I think she had a whole. To me, she meant a lot more in Volume 1. And Volume 2, it was just like, oh, are we doing the love thing? But to me, it just wasn't. Her role wasn't as
developed. She was doing a lot of reacting, but we didn't really get to know more about her in this episode.
Yeah, Gamora? Yeah, Gamora of the main Guardians was certainly the most underserved in Volume 2, I would have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Groot too, but that's okay, I guess.
Yeah. And I didn't expect so much from Rocket. And I didn't expect him to bond with Merle, whatever his name is.
Yondu.
Okay, I'm sorry.
certainly, I didn't expect it going into the movie. But as the movie progressed, it only made sense by the time we got to that point. The only thing that threw me about Rocket was, like, why did he have to be such a dick in the first place? But then, I mean, just in this movie. But I guess he had to be because, yeah. Have to have some, you know, tension, and you know, you had to have a movie, so they had to do something. So they had to make him dicky as sure. Well, actually, both him and Peter Quill were over the top dick in the beginning of the movie, which is a little bit annoying, but I guess that's what you gotta do.
To me, in this volume two, Star-Lord was not as obnoxious as he was in the first one.
He was really obnoxious in the beginning, I thought.
Of this one? Of the second
one?
Yes. What did he do?
Yes.
What did he do?
He was being over the top arrogant and sure of himself.
But he just saved the galaxy once. You know, you can brag a little.
I understand, but he was being over the top, like not a cool guy, not a good guy. It was very odd. I mean, obviously that was the driver wedge between him and Gamora, but I mean, wow, it was over the top.
I must have not really picked up on that. Because to me, in the first one, I just really disliked him. But in the second one, I found myself liking him more. And I think because he softened when he was with his dad. And he wasn't... I mean, he had his little quips and his little, you know, snide remarks or whatever. But to me, it just... I don't know. I felt closer to his emotions or something. I'm not really sure... Maybe that's what I'm saying, but he just seemed more accessible as a person in this one. And so I think that's why I was able to, I think, become shocked with emotions, because I didn't expect to go in having any type of emotion with this type of, you know, popcorn flick or whatever. So the thing
I knew it was coming.
I didn't really think that they would do, because I felt like it was so many of them, and I felt like I was kind of solid throughout the whole freaking thing.
I didn't fully expect the quantity of it, but I mean, I had heard James Gunn interviewed on multiple podcasts, so you know, that's part of it. I mean, I was even listening to a podcast about 2 months before the movie came out, and it just happened.
Carl,
on the podcast.
We get that you're eating, dude. Calm it down.
Sorry, I'm cutting with a spoon.
Set it down.
I mean, it was like the Foley was like right in the microphone. I was listening to a podcast 2 months before the movie came out when James Gunn broke the news on the podcast I was listening to. He said that he was going to have Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone. And I was like, wow, really?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone.
I mean, just breaking it though, like in the podcast, well before the movie came out. I was a little bit surprised. I didn't think they were going to reveal so much ahead of time, but that's whatever.
Man, you know better than to start watching those things.
No, I know. Oh, I understand, but it didn't take me out of the movie. But certainly it shaded my expectations, though. But I knew, though. I mean, look, James Gunn intentionally, you know, put some heart into the Volume 1, and I mean, you would only expect that that was going to somehow be in Volume 2. And then listening to him in interviews, he was definitely selling that part, that this was going to be, like, you know, heavy on the character development and heavy on the emotion. He said that everywhere he went.
It's just weird. I wonder why he chose to do that, chose to be heavy on the
emotion.
That's
his thing, I think. I think that's just his M.O., at least with
but
his
was
Marvel
that enjoyable?
Movie,
does it make it a more enjoyable film, or do we want something action-packed and not all of this, you know?
No, I'm completely down with it.
Okay.
In both Volume 1 and 2. No, it definitely makes the movies better. I'm all for it, because, yeah, no, that's a great thing. That's part of what made Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 so good. See, that, like I said, Volume 1 is super special in my mind, both as a Marvel Disney movie, but also just as a movie, I still think Guardians is like, I think Guardians and Avengers, the first one, are to me the most special of the Marvel Disney movies.
Iron Man 1.
But.
Yeah.
I know. I understand that if people feel that way, I'm just not part of that club. But I get it, though.
You're wrong.
That's how you feel. That's fine. I'm just saying. I completely understand people, because my relationship with Iron Man is that when that movie came out, I remember all my friends who saw it were just like, oh man, you gotta see this movie, Iron Man. Oh, it's so good. You gotta see it. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna see it. I wanna see it.
And then
I watched it and I was like, okay, I mean, it was likable, but it wasn't The Dark Knight or anything like that.
Eric.
And look, I feel like
anytime somebody recommends something to you and they're super pumped up, you find a way to like piss in their Cheerios. I think that's just how Eric is.
Cheerios,
and you pissed in my Cheerios so many times. Every time I'm like super pumped up.
Yeah, but you're just looking at it like it's only your Cheerios. I didn't single out your Cheerios.
No, I'm just saying, like, you piss into everybody's Cheerios if they.
It is everybody's.
It depends what it is, because other movies, it's legitimate.
It's just like, oh, okay. It's the best thing ever.
No.
But if
tell
somebody
this,
else does, it's just like, whatever.
No, tell me this. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Okay. Yeah, let me just bring out two movies as examples.
Here we go.
One of the movies is Iron Man. And everyone goes out and sees it, and they all tell you, this movie's amazing, you gotta see it. Okay, that's one. Example one. Example two, there's a movie called Avatar, and all your friends go out and see it. And they go, that movie's amazing, you gotta see it. Are you telling me you're gonna have the same equal reaction after you see both movies?
I don't know what point he's making.
So listen, are you going to have the same reaction?
But see, the thing is they happen in different times, different eras, spread out, and they have different things. They're different.
They are very different.
First of all, they're only 2 hours apart. I mean, 2 years apart.
See,
but
that's a difference. That's a difference.
I understand,
that's
the
difference
not,
between like the Matrix and something else. You know
okay,
what I mean?
But you're ignoring my point, though.
That which is
at the time when you saw Iron Man in its time, was it as amazing to you as when you saw Avatar in its time when you saw it?
The story
equal
was
or not equal in your feeling of the movie.
There are too many parameters, Eric. We can talk about special effects.
It's simple.
We can talk about character development.
No, I don't care. You can judge it however you want to judge it. I'm just asking, was it equal or was one greater than the other? Regardless of the reason for you personally, was it equal or was one greater?
Multi-parameters can't be equated that way. It's not as simple as that.
One hits you hard. I can answer easily. Name any two movies you want, and I'll tell you which one I like better. I don't care how different they are. I don't care what era
I feel
they
like
from.
We're being yelled at.
No,
it's a simple question.
It's a simple question. So you're telling me they're exactly equal in your mind
scared.
Because there's too many parameters. Is this a simple question? So you're telling me that your experience with both those movies is so similar, you can't tell which one impacted you more at the time.
We are saying the complete opposite, that they are not similar, and that's why they're hard to compare. They're not
I just want you to answer the simple question. Did one impact you more?
I think we're having a hard time because it's just hard to answer it that way. That's like saying, do you like, because it's your question and you're looking for an answer. You're looking for an answer, but the thing is, it's not that we're not trying to give you an answer.
No,
but that's like the difference between asking me if I think Amistad is good or La La Land is good.
Yes.
You can't, which one is greater? Which one is better? Well, that's just,
you guys hear me talking to myself? When I say, name any two movies and throw them at me, and I'll give you an answer. I don't care what genre they are. I don't care what era. I don't care. Give me two movies, and I'll tell you. Go ahead. Throw any at me. Throw any. I'm waiting.
I feel like I'm going to get hit. Name any two movies. But I don't think this is the... Here we go.
I got you. Wizard of Oz and The Matrix. Go.
The Matrix.
Why?
The Matrix, because at the time, I was like a fully formed adult, and that was like a life-changing experience. Now, if you say when you were 6 years old, I would say Wizard of Oz, except I didn't see Matrix when I was 6 years old, so I can't compare that. But if you ask me...
Here we go. Matrix, you know what, Carl? Matrix. I think you got him. Because in the era when people saw Wizard of Oz, it was the greatest thing ever because it had color and it was like...
I'm not asking for the world's opinion. I'm just asking about your personal opinion.
I even went easy on them because they're actually very comparable. But
I would say Matrix.
Name any other two movies you want.
Look, okay, let me give you the counter, Eric. All right, since we're going through this. Let's just look. We heard you. We gave you a shot. Just let me give you the counter, okay?
Here's the thing. I'm just saying, you guys are making it so complicated. It's not complicated.
Dude, the reason why you like a movie is complicated. It's not.
I understand, but you can tell which one is greater or lesser, and it's your own personal opinion.
Dude, no.
Look, Avatar, Iron Man, Avatar. Done. Simple. Now, if you want me to explain it, I can explain it, but I'm just saying it's going to be Avatar.
I like certain things about Iron Man that Avatar did not have, which is hard.
That's fine, but they mean a lot to me, which is why I'm saying you can say Iron Man if you want to.
I don't say either one. I can't say because they have different things about them that make them important.
Let me get back to the movies because I want to talk about Guardians 1 and 2. All right.
I listened to
your point initially where you were saying that the second one wasn't quite as intense as the first one, or it didn't have the same emotion.
I didn't say it was intense. I said that there was magic in a bottle.
Okay. Now here's the thing.
That is very hard to duplicate.
Okay. Now let me finish because I wanted to counter you on that because what immediately came to mind when you said that for me was Star Wars. The difference between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. Okay. For me, that's how Guardians 1 and 2 felt. The magic in the bottle that you described with Guardians 1, I agree with in terms of, you know, the effects and the world that they built was rich and it was something that very unique and kind of nutty that we hadn't seen before. The same way that when the first time you see Star Wars, you feel that way. You saw it was like, wow, this is exciting. This is new. It's flashy. It's different. But when Empire rolled around, you had already known Luke and Leia. You had gotten comfortable with their characters and you were so excited to see who they had become in the second movie. That for me, even though the lightning, the magic in the bottle that you described was greater in Star Wars, by the time we got to Empire, the closeness of the audience to the characters and what had developed in their relationships in the second one took on a whole another and a greater meaning for me. And that's how I felt about Guardians. When I saw the first movie, it was pretty, it was flashy, I loved the effects and an introduction to the world, but I thought the initial introduction to the characters was a little bit rushed. Man, when we got two, I felt like I knew the characters well. I was excited to see the arc of Yondu and what happened with Rocket. I like Drax a whole lot. I mean, it was like everybody that I really liked in the first movie, they magnified and they really focused on in the second movie, which again is a tough thing
to do.
All right.
Well, this is what I'll tell you. Because obviously, there's no way I could ever talk you out of that feeling. I would never attempt to. Like, I totally see if you or other people feel the same exact way for the reasons you just described, comparing it to Star Wars. That's fine. But if I was to explain how I feel about it using the Star Wars terminology, Because I don't feel that it's the same way for me as the way you compare it to Star Wars. If I compare it by Star Wars terminology, I would say that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 was like a little bit of A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back put together, and then Volume 2 was like Return of the Jedi for me. That's the way I feel about it in Star Wars terms.
You know, I can see what he means, though. I see what he means on that.
Because Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 did more, relatively speaking, than A New Hope did on its own. Like, A New Hope is only like the first half of Volume 1, so to speak. And then it did some other stuff, which makes it a little bit... I'm not going to say it's full Empire Strikes Back, because that's ridiculous. But I mean, it's a little bit of both, just in Volume 1. And then 3 is like, hey, I still love these guys, and I love to see them on a new adventure. Maybe I don't care about the Ewoks. But overall, it's still a good movie, but it's no New Hope in Empire. And that's how I feel about Volume 2.
The only reason that I say I agree with you on that is because by the third Star Wars film, I think it was heavily commercialized. And then I think Guardians 2 is that way, where we're getting Groot and Geico commercials and things like that. That's like...
But that's outside of the movie, though.
But it's still part of... Because then you had, like... They probably put the Ewoks in 3 to, like, cuten it up or make it more palatable for other people. And what else did they do to Guardians 2 to make it more acceptable to, like, a wider audience?
You mean than Baby Groot?
Other than Baby Groot, and then, like, the tearjerker stuff. Because every time I heard... Maybe I only heard the opinions of women because I went into the women's restroom after I saw the movie, and it was just like, oh my God, that was so great. It made me cry. I was so emotional. And so all of us are talking about all these emotions we had, and I just found that kind of fascinating. And I'm not sure if that directly translates to what Eric was saying, but I don't know.
I will simply say that I will still hold to more firmly in the realm of Empire. I don't see any Jedi in it because I really think that Galaxy 2 was very, very complete. I mean, I don't feel like they compromised any. I don't feel like they sold out or anything. I really felt like it was a solid standalone, really good movie. Now, when I see like Jedi, I feel like I agree with you, Kat, that it felt not just.
I remember my Ewok moment now.
What was there? Now let's just let him go. What's the Ewok moment in 2?
I remember I had an Ewok moment.
What is it
in Volume 2? During the part where the what are those guys called? What are Yondu's crew called? Reapers?
Whatever. I got you. Right.
Yondu's those guys. Crew. When they were, like, coming in on the Milano, when they were in the forest, and then you kept seeing them, like, get thrown in the air, like, as they kept walking in traps. Now, it didn't ruin the movie for me. Oh, wow. I'm losing my voice from yelling. It didn't ruin the movie for me. Oh, my God.
We just kind of don't know why you were yelling, honestly, but okay.
Because you guys are being crazy.
Oh, my God.
Were we really getting yelled at?
Yeah, we were.
Maybe he was just talking. We were?
Because I asked the most simple question, and somehow I found 2 people that, like, it should not have been a difficult question. Unless you really had that.
Okay, let's not go back. Let's not go back.
Anyway, so...
Jesus. That was your Ewok moment?
Yeah, because... It certainly made a lot of people laugh in the theater, but I was shaking my head. It didn't ruin the movie for me or anything.
Dude, look.
I'm just saying.
When the moment is not the entire last third of the movie, it doesn't count as an Ewok moment.
I'm saying the entire third of the movie.
But the Ewoks were.
But the Ewoks didn't annoy me for the whole third that they appeared in.
They really should have. They really should have. Anyway.
So one of my favorite parts of Guardians 2 was the tape. When he said, do you have any tape? And he was going in the middle of a fight, And he was just going around asking, hey, you have tape? There's things flying around. There's fists being punched and everything. To me, that was just so funny.
I didn't find it funny at all, because that exactly happened to us at Dragon Con, and none of the chicks had tape. I was furious. I was furious. All I needed was a little freaking tape. And you ladies are like, tape? What's that? I don't know.
No, see,
that is an engineer's worst nightmare in that moment right there.
That was so funny.
No, Kat, that part was good, but it was all over one of the trailers that I'd already seen.
I hadn't seen it.
So I'd already seen that scene. They showed the whole gist of that scene. Like, you have tape? Where's the tape? Blah, blah, blah. And that was all over, like, the second movie trailer.
Look away, man. Look away. I hadn't seen it.
Well, that's the benefits of slacking and having a life.
Well, I'm sorry. I like to go to the movies, like, a lot. And so
it was a movie trailer?
I have to look away. Oh. I actually look away when I'm in the theater.
But you can't turn
now,
your ears off. Do you put your fingers in your ears?
Sometimes I hum. It gets bad. It gets bad.
Yeah.
It's true. Go on.
If you saw the particular trailer I'm talking, it basically just shows that scene and like nothing else.
Yeah,
it's just like 2 minutes of that scene.
To this date, to this moment, I still have not seen any previews for the upcoming Star Wars movie.
It's safe.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
It's safe.
Oh,
no,
I haven't either. Okay,
no,
so what did y'all think about...
the trailer is safe.
Okay.
For Star Wars.
What did y'all think about the beginning of Guardians, where Baby Groot was listening to music, and there was...
It was good.
Fighting was good. And all this stuff, and you really didn't see anything, but it was just this big, weird battle.
It was
adorable, and I saw it in 3D, so it was really fun watching all of that going on. And, but see, that's why I'm a little confused about Eric's Ewok moment, because, look, there are genuinely exaggerated cartoony moments throughout this movie, where you just had to let mess go. I mean, you can't be sitting there going, there's no way the Baby Groot would not have gotten squashed by the tentacle in the midst of the battle. No. You just roll with the silliness. And once they establish that is the reality of the world in Guardians of the Galaxy, from the first movie on, I just let that mess go.
I didn't have anything wrong with the series. I think he went with that. I think it was just other things. I don't think he... Well, you can speak for yourself. You're right there. Go ahead.
I had no conflict with that opening scene. As far as it being like a little bit too ridiculous, I had zero conflict at all with that opening scene. But that said, the opening scene of Volume 1 hit me harder, not because it did more, but because it felt more original at the time. The opening with Star-Lord going through the cavern and putting on the first song.
Yeah, that was more novel at the time.
Yes, and for me less was more in Volume 1, because they certainly upped the funny factor, et cetera, et cetera, and that was on display and it worked. It just didn't have the notoriety of being the first to do that in the series.
So, Carl, what did you think about Ego and his ridiculousness? I was kind of disappointed that a god or whatever he is would be so callous, so cruel. I didn't really understand, like, what was his motivation. I mean, his motivation seemed stupid. All the children that he killed off, all of that. I mean, it was a fascinating story because I was really drawn in. I was hoping that, you know, he had found his dad and his dad would be cool and they would do cool, crazy stuff throughout the galaxy. But he had to end up killing his father, not just like putting him in jail or anything, you know, so they never get to have that relationship. And he lost Merle. So, I mean, what did you...
Well, like Eric says, there is a certain pattern that you can detect in these stories. And I'm not just talking about, you know, Marvel. You made a great point about them being Marvel movies. But even beyond that, when you see sort of like the pie in the sky, the moment where the hero seems to be able to have everything that he's always wanted, when you see that moment, immediately suspect the opposite. I mean, it's just you just know the bottom's gonna drop out when Star-Lord's there playing catch with his dad. And, I mean, you just knew that this cannot last, and so I knew something was up with Ego. I thought he was a lot darker than I expected. I agree, he was way more callous. But he also suffers the same flaw as many Marvel villains, is that their motivation seems suspect. For them to have been, and you can go through most Marvel villains, you go throughout the history of them, and they have all of this power and all of this ability, but what it is that they want and what it is that they are sacrificing for is always so small or insignificant or disproportionate that you're like, really? That's what you're doing? I got the power. I got the idea, that he was going to have to become that he was going to have to become evil. But trying to figure out why he had to kill so much to achieve that, that just seemed a little heavy-handed. And of course, when we found out what he did to Chris's mom, that was, that's the hero's moment. We knew that was what was going to finally push him over.
But it made no sense for him to do that to her. Why give her cancer? That just made absolutely no sense.
It only does if you don't recognize that he saw beings as lab rats.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
So if you want to believe that the feelings that he had for his mom were real, then it doesn't make sense. But that's not what
diatribe, and what was he going on about all these feelings and his search for his son and all this? If not, I mean, like, why would you even go through the bother of coming up with a story like that?
Because while it appeared that he was looking for his son for love and to try to reconnect that which he lost with the mom, it was because Star-Lord's the only one that had the magic. He's the only one of all of his experiments that had the power that he was looking for. And so in his own way, you could say that was what he was looking for in a son, but it certainly doesn't map into the emotional power and significance that you were thinking of, him loving his mom and that. Now. So, yeah, Ego was rough. Ego was rough.
And as I was watching the movie, trying to work it out, what Ego's plan was and everything like that, I slightly went astray in my thinking. And I didn't realize it until later afterwards that I think it's because my thinking was influenced from seeing the movie Get Out. But what I thought was happening, because I knew Ego was going to turn out to be bad, but I thought what he was trying to do was he was trying to find like the first successful offspring, because I thought his intention was I thought he was going to steal Quill's body, is what I thought. I thought his goal was to have a truly sentient body so that he could be free to go wherever he wanted, because he talked about how his clone self could only last for so long before it deteriorate.
Yes.
I thought he was looking for a more permanent vessel to be able to leave his planetoid existence while still maintaining all his power. Another vibe besides Get Out is Star Trek V Final Frontier, when
what God needs with a starship.
Exactly. If you think back to that movie, it's very similar in some ways to what's going on with Ego.
Yeah,
very much like the God in Final Frontier.
I also had a bit of a flashback. I mean, I saw that too, and I also had the flashback with Dr. Marvel. I mean, Dr. Strange. They say that the last moment where he's running into the guy and he traps him in the time.
Hey, spoilers.
You haven't seen Doctor Strange yet?
No.
Holy crap, woman. All right, never mind, man. Anyway, hurry the hell up.
Jeez Louise.
Hey.
I keep trying to watch it and stuff keep happening. Like, I've literally watched the first 5 minutes 3 times and not been able to finish.
All right, well, keep with it. It's worth talking about. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, there was a lot of disproportionateness going on with, you know, his Borg desires for the universe. You know, for that just to boil down to running through all those different species and it being totally dependent on Starlink.
Yeah, but like what Carl said though already, I feel within the confines of the story and what we understand in the universe, and exactly what Carl said, with Ego looking at regular beings as being less than his kind, like, I mean, like Carl said, lab rats, I was thinking amoebas, but, or, you know, think insects, like, you know, would you be bothered if you killed a bunch of insects? Like, you see, that's the thing. Ego seems like a dick because you think of him as a human being, but that doesn't make any sense to think of him as a human being.
You know, but if I could breed and have baby with ants, maybe I'd think differently about them. You know what I mean?
You know, I see that too. If you could have little pupae that look like the original flies from the 60s.
Gross.
I mean, that was pretty gross. Freaky, the original fly. But the thing is, we're humans. You can't think of yourself as a planet. I mean, we're not talking a blue whale. We're not talking King Kong. We're talking a planet. That's like on such a ridiculous scale. You know, it's much more than the scale of like a human to an ant, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
So does Star-Lord have any residual powers, do we think? Or do they disappear?
I bet he does.
Yeah, he has some powers.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's coming in. Yeah.
We could only expect, yes. Mm-hmm. Especially considering the movies that are coming in the future, yes.
That's exciting. You know what I wanted to see more of? Thanos.
Well, I
think a lot of people wanted to be thrown more bones. Did you watch all the endings, Kat? There was like five or six.
Yes, I know. My God, it was just like, is this gonna ever end? I think I did. I liked Adolescent Groot, which was funny.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What else happened?
The gold people have a project they're working on.
They bored me.
Well, I like the gold people. I like them.
I like the lady in charge of the gold people.
Because besides the fact she was, you know, pretty hot, she was just trying so hard to be regal, and it was not working.
It was not. I mean, that is
what was so funny about it, though. I mean, we have seen villains and whatnot in the history of our films. But to see someone trying so hard to be that kind of, and for it not to come off, it was really, really funny. It was funny to see, and it was awkward, and you almost felt bad for her. It was, I thought that as a bunch, they were a spoiled bunch of entertaining people to have chasing after you through the galaxy. It was for the video game weapon systems. It was fun.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, that definitely made me think of Last Starfighter, even though they didn't really fly drones in Last Starfighter, but it still made me think of it.
And Ender's Game.
Her magic carpet.
Certainly Ender's Game. No, but I actually liked the inclusion and pretty much everything that involved their race. I liked the role that they filled in the movie. They're obviously setting up the second sequel, the third volume 3.
Treacle.
One thing I found interesting, you know, treacle is a dessert in England, but
which would actually be an awesome name with Groot in it. So you know, you could go with that.
Look at me! Boom.
Wow. No, but and I know this won't. I'm pretty sure neither of you
is a
fan nor watches the cartoon Steven Universe on Cartoon Network.
No, you're right.
But yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I love that cartoon. And it's great. And that was one thing that I found curious watching Volume 2. Because as we explored more of the character development of Peter Quill and some of the things he had to deal with in Volume 2 specifically, very Steven Universe. There's a lot of parallels between the protagonists of both series. And then even the yellow people very much resemble the antagonists in Steven Universe. It is a lot, you know, you could draw many parallels between the characters and the situations they're in. I just thought that was interesting because the universe is awesome in that way, and it works in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's interesting.
Lots of parallels between mm-hmm. like his parentage, mm-hmm. blah blah. I don't want to spoil Steam Universe if people haven't seen it, but there's a lot of crossover.
I see it.
So Carl and Eric, final thoughts on this. I don't think you had any fury upon exit. I don't think you had any problems with the special effects or anything with this one. I don't think this is going on the turd list.
Not for me.
No. Not for me. No. It's still in my upper like tier of the Disney Marvels. It's still like in the top 5 or 6 for me, somewhere.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And again, when you bring a sequel back with as many characters as you have, it's often that they tend to focus on the wrong characters when they bring it back, or they do something weird with the second one mm-hmm. that takes away the focus. Everybody that I really liked in the first movie, and they weren't even the main characters. All of the secondary characters that I really liked in the first movie just got blown up big time and were very significant in this one. I mean, you know, I like Nebula a lot. Bam, we got more Nebula. I like Drax a lot. Bam, we got more Drax in this one. Of course, Yondu. I like Yondu probably the best from the first movie. Yeah. And I don't know if we can go back and listen to the cast sometime, but I probably said something like, I hope we see him again. I got my wish with Yondu. Wow. He really is great.
I want to mention one of the side characters we have not mentioned yet.
Have about 5 more minutes.
I know what
here.
I got. Mantis.
Excuse me?
Mantis. One thing that stood out to me about Mantis was the whole time watching the movie, every time she had dialogue, I heard Lester Nygaard's second wife. Like, all I could hear was, you remember how she spoke?
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah. Like, I felt like Mantis came from Minnesota because she very much reminded me of Nygaard's second wife.
That's funny.
I had to check if it was not the same actress, but for a moment I thought it could be the same actress.
That's nice. Yeah. As if you watch Fargo, Carl.
I know. I've missed it. I'm sorry.
It's still on Hulu.
Yeah, it's still on Hulu. So you haven't missed it. So.
Get into it.
Yeah, that's nice. So, guys, that was a very, very brief but good discussion on Guardians 2. I hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about that. Visit us on scifipartyline.com. We enjoy your feedback. Facebook, Twitter, we're on all those. Get with us. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party in a few minutes. Bye.
Bye.
I still have 12 minutes, Kat.
I need a break because I get yelled at.
Y'all are crazy, man. I swear. I feel like I got the brunt of that. I feel like I got the worst end of that yelling fiasco.
Really? That is just like saying, you beat me and it's my fault. That's just what I heard you say.
My fist hurts after beating you guys so much.
No, the reason, though,
you should apologize.
No, because what happened in that situation is you guys triggered me. There was no me triggering you guys. It was completely.
Well, we didn't understand what was happening, and I've never heard you yell before. Because I didn't know what was happening. I don't.
Because
understand.
I was like, "What are you guys doing?" Like, it was a super simple question.
How in the world can you?
Let me ask you. Let me give you an example of what would be like an impossible question, or in my mind, because to me this is a very. Easy question. A difficult question.
The difficult question is define romp.
The difficult question.
It's impossible, I say.
No, the difficult question I could have asked that would have been related to the question I asked you. The difficult question would be, give me two movies that you feel exactly the same about. Two different movies that you like exactly the same though. Because if you ask me that question. That's going to be rough, because how the heck am I going to come up with that answer? I don't know.
So that's not what you asked us.
That is not. That's an impossible question. The question I asked you was much simpler. For you personally, which movie do you like more? For whatever reason that you personally feel that way.
But I couldn't answer you because I like them for different reasons more. If you ask me, it just is. I could not answer that question if I like Iron Man or Avatar.
Again, and I give you the example... And I gave you the example.
I think you're wrong. I mean, you're wrong. I cannot, just because I can't answer you the way you think I should be, because that's your answer doesn't make it my answer. We're two different people.
Eric, what I think is most hilarious about this, and particularly this question coming from you, is as hosts of podcasts, it is clear that we love movies. All right? We love movies. We love movies for complex reasons. Okay, you sit down, you ask me what my favorite movie is, and you're going to have a fight. Because I just, I really...
You can ask me, and you're not going to have a fight.
I know, but my point is, and it should be, is that we appreciate movies for so many complex, many diverse reasons, that when you sit down and say, do you like this or this? And then you look at us like it's a simple question. When we talk for hours about show and movies...
I told you, my example, give me any two movies and I can give you a response within 10 seconds.
You fumbled it, dude.
No,
if I was 6 years old when The Wizard of Oz came out,
that was a legit question, because
Wizard of Oz was never my answer. There was only one answer and it was Matrix, and it's still Matrix. And you can give me any other two movies you want. I don't care what they are. Throw them out, and I will choose one or the other in 10 seconds. And I challenge you to stump me on this challenge.
Well, we don't have to, because we have been on podcasts with you and said that you only have 2 minutes left, and you know how that goes.
No, this specific question, to claim that you're a master of suffering, is just blowing the whole mind. If you want to take the Pepsi challenge, go ahead and step up. And if you think you could stump me for 2 minutes, I would be amazed.
My God, you're so aggressive tonight. Jeez.
No, because, again...
He's behind the wheel.
Because, to me, like...
You're having podcast rage. I'm going to put you in time out.
There's no comparison. Okay. Do another one. Say Guardians of the Galaxy 1 Avatar. I'll give you the answer. Give me anything.
Because we need to take a chill on that.
Because if you say that it's really so hard for you to choose between those two movies, I'm eternally fascinated. If you're torn, if you're given an Iron Man and Avatar and you feel torn,
I'm
immensely fascinated by that for both of you.
Because for me, I can write a paper why, and I can give you,
if you let me think about it, I can tell you why.
But it's not even close. It's not even the same ballpark for me.
For you.
I know. But I'm saying for anybody to say that they're so close. That's my point.
They're very different because I'm going to tell you. Okay, go ahead.
Like the way I think of it, because to me it's more like flipping a coin, right? And by and large, if you flip a coin, you're probably only going to get one of two sides. But that being said... there is technically a chance a coin could land on its edge. It's not impossible.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
I think you should hang up because you only got 3 more minutes, and I don't even know where this conversation is going right now.
I'm saying, I'm amazed that with those two choices that you could be torn, because it's, I can't even think of two movies I'd be torn on.
Okay, look, Avatar was good. Wasn't my favorite movie. I'll tell you that right now.
I never said it had to be your favorite movie, Avatar was my favorite movie.
I'm just saying that you seem to say that it's such an easy choice between the two, and for me, it really is not. Different.
That's fine. It's not. That's fine, and I'm eternally fascinated because again,
no, you seem just annoyed, not fascinated. If you were fascinated, no. I don't think we would have got yelled at.
No, I'm fascinated because I can't think of any two movies where I'm torn.
Well, that's just you. You're a different animal.
I know, but I'm saying throw any movies. Like, there's nothing that's so similar.
That's
fine.
You can do that. That's a great talent, sir. But that's not.
So what are we doing? Erica, you coming back? What's happening?
Yeah, because he's about to hang up in 2 minutes.
And then you're coming back when?
In 20 minutes.
Approximately 20 minutes, I'm completely open.
All right, half
there. Okay, so let's just go now. We can take a break, Carl. You can eat the rest of whatever you're doing over
there.
Oh,
I'm done now. I'm off.
Whatever. It's just, okay. All right, Eric, text me when you're back.
Okay.
All right.
End of line.